you just got back from dinner, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious, what did you have for dinner?
I had some kind of like Thai food.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
From Thailand.
Went with a couple of the Swedes.
Oh, I heard Sweden. Tell me more.
Trav's fellow home countrymen.
Erik Brännström and Anton Forsberg.
Oh, Forsberg, big 580 guy. You were a 580 guy before, right?
Me?
Yeah, 580 or 600 kind of guy.
I've always been a 600 guy.
Oh, okay, I'm getting my facts missed. Anyway, sorry, back to the Thai food.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. We just got here a little earlier today, so.
That's awesome, dude. Pat,
back for a couple hours in the hotel and then go for dinner.
Yeah, dude, that's wicked. Pat was making fun of you before we started. He's like, man, Trav, you and this guy go to bed at the same time, around 10:30 every night. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are early birds.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm a night owl. I stay up later than I should, I guess you could say. 2-3 area.
I don't even know. Like, I mean, obviously, sometimes you have the, like, a night here and there where you can't sleep, but, like, just like in general, I don't even know how people do that. Like, I can't. Yeah. Once it rolls around 10, I'm out.
So what about post game? After you get the
adrenaline rush? I can never sleep after games. I can never sleep after games.
Yeah, I definitely have that problem. I'm just wired post game. It's like my body's tired, but my mind is not. Or wait, maybe the other way around. I don't know.
Calm down after.
Yeah, my mind's racing.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Let's say you finish a game around, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock, give it, or oh, yeah, probably around like 9:30, 10 average time. What time do you think you go to bed at? Like by the time you like get to bed and you actually like pass out?
I probably fall asleep around, I'd say between 1:30 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So it does take a while. But like on practice days, I just like, I pass out right away.
Yeah, you're just out zonked by like 8:30.
Yeah.
Not me. So, anyways, welcome to Slang in the Biscuit, the podcast. This is episode number 54, if I'm correct. Right, Trav?
Correct. 54 this week.
Yeah, we just kind of spontaneously started there. We started recording, and now we're here. And we're excited to get rolling.
Yes, we have an amazing guest this week. I mean, I say it every week, but this week we seriously have an amazing guest. We have Mad Sogard. Hot off his first ever NHL win. He's one for one. He's batting 100%. We were just talking before we started the podcast. You could, in theory, I know you won't, you could retire and go out on top. You batted 100%. You gave up 2 goals. That's a pretty hot start. You look good. I watched the highlights before we came on here, but an hour before. You look great. You could go out on top, my friend. You could.
Best win percentage ever.
I mean, it's a possibility, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's happening.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
We could put together a couple wins, go 2-0, maybe 3, then go out on top. Then let people wonder. 3-0.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But pretty cool. Trav was indeed, I can confirm, he was very excited about the guest. So he's not bullshitting. He's not just, you know, making you feel good about yourself. I hope he did, but he means it. He likes you a lot.
It's awesome. That's really awesome.
Oh yeah.
Well, the breakdown of it was, Pat, we have a guest this week. Who do we have? We have Mad Sogard, hot off his first NHL win. Oh, where is he from? Who is he? Tell me a little bit about him. Well, he's from Denmark, which you might as well just put Sweden on because it's the same thing. And I love Swedes. I am a Swede. I consider myself a Swede. My dad gets so mad whenever I say that. He's like, "You're from Canada. You were born and raised in Western Canada." And I said, "Dad, I'm a Swede." And he's like, "Son, they don't want you."
No, I know. Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, obviously there's a lot of like similarities between Sweden and Denmark. So, I mean, I used to go to Sweden for hockey camps, you know, every single summer when I was younger. So, spend quite a bit of time in Sweden for sure.
You want to get into that a little bit?
I was going to say, yeah, which,
I used to go to Henrik Lundqvist goalie camp just outside of Gothenburg on a little island. I can't remember the name of the island, but I used to go to his hockey camps. And, yeah, I remember he'd show up. I think it was a 5-day camp, and he'd show up on one of the days. And You know, you'd bring all your stuff and have him sign your pads and gloves and whatever you might as well have. And yeah, it was pretty awesome to, you know, get to meet him. He was, you know, one of the guys I really looked up to when I was, you know, just getting to know about NHL hockey and everything. So it was pretty cool to see him in real life as well.
You say he was one of your idols growing up?
Absolutely, yeah. He was, he was one of, the big first guys. One of those guys that, I really liked. It wasn't, with a little bit of help from my dad or anything. It was just a guy that I really liked. And, I mean, I think, honestly, my whole family became a really big fan of him. So, everyone was pretty excited to go to Sweden and meet Henrik Lundqvist.
Was he pretty down-to-earth as a guy?
The nicest guy. He took so much time to talk and didn't seem like he was in a hurry at all. And I mean, I was just a kid and could barely communicate with him in either Swedish or Danish or English or anything. So, right. But you know, it didn't seem to bother him at all. And he took all his all the time in the world and was just being super nice and I think I was there for 5 years in a row, so it was obviously something I really liked.
Yeah, that's true. That can go a long way.
I was going to ask, when he's out at the camp, he's actually involved, he's on the ice, he's getting on his knees, he's actually teaching kids, he's not just, this is the Henrik Lundqvist camp, he's getting out there with you?
He's, like I said, he'd show up for one day, but he would go on the ice and he'd help people on the ice and talk to the group and, be a teach, pretty much be a coach for a day, I'd say. I think we'd have two ice sessions and he'd be on for both ice sessions. And like I said, he would take all the time in the world for pitchers and for chats and everything. So it was pretty awesome to, like I said, have that experience and meet him and, to see how he carries himself and what kind of person he is.
I think Trav hearing that would mean a lot because he had some tough run-ins as a child with some NHL goalies. So
I still do.
Well, you're just not a child anymore, so it's different, but it's impactful, I guess, at a young age. So when you see a goalie like that is down to earth and nice to you, it probably just goes a long way for you.
Yeah. And I think honestly, I think at an early age, I kind of tried to get that into the person I am as well. I mean, I've always known that I wanted to go and play in the NHL and play hockey for a living. But I mean, it's I feel like it's even a bigger compliment, I guess you could say, is when people meet you and they tell you that you're so down to earth and you're just, you feel like just a normal guy. There's no, you don't act like a big shot or a star or anything. I mean, I think that's the biggest compliment you can get. I'd almost rather have that than, have someone tell me I had a good game. Cause I mean, obviously we play hockey, but being a good human is definitely better than that. And more important, I think. So, like I said, seeing that at an early age, I think I kind of got inspired to try to do, some of the same things and just in my own way. And, seeing him do it was a really good experience.
Well, and too, one of these days, all this ends. You can play in the National League, you can play in a men's league. One day hockey ends. And if you're one of those guys who's acting like a big leaguer and you're holier than thou, nobody's going to want nothing to do with you at the end of it. And as a testament to what you just said, I had a couple people message me recently. They're like, hey, you should try to get Matt Sogard on the podcast. I'm thinking, this dude just had his first NHL win. Are you kidding me? This guy doesn't have the time. He's got 10,000 Travs. Be like, hey, man, come on my podcast. Come on my shitty podcast. And I sent you a DM, and I think within, 12 hours? Yeah, you want to do the podcast tomorrow? I was asking for the summer, by the way, just to clarify. I was going to say June or July. You're like, yeah, let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. I mean, trying to, like I said, just trying to fit things into, you know, my schedule and everything. I mean, you know, you guys are working hard as well, right? Like, you know, and you guys are trying to do lots online, and people recognize that. And, you know, if I can help out just the slightest little bit, you know, I'm all for it.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it, dude.
And you're at a hotel right now, you're saying? Where at are? Where
are you? We are in Montreal right now.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, yeah, we appreciate you taking the time on a road trip. That's means a lot.
How's the hotel? You guys got a pool?
You know what? I haven't checked it out, but the room is really nice. It's a really good hotel for sure.
I should have said sauna. It's more like a Scandinavian thing. Nobody cares about the pool. It's just the saunas.
I think I did read there was a rooftop pool, so it sounds like, I don't know how nice that would be right now, but I think there is a rooftop pool.
What's the weather like right now in Montreal? Is it good for like a rooftop pool kind of day or no?
I wouldn't do it, but I mean, it was a little windy when we went back from dinner.
A little ice bath.
No snow, nothing, so I mean, I guess that's a positive.
That is a big perk, dude. Coming from Canada?
Oh, no. I played in Western Canada. I know all about that.
Yeah, dude. You're in Medicine Hat. How about, I was telling Pat, the Shell gas station right by the casino when you're rolling to town, that's got to be the highlight. That and the Petro Canada.
Yeah. No, I absolutely loved my time in Medicine Hat. It was unbelievable. And I got super lucky as well. Like, you know, insane situation with, like, my billet family. So I came over as a young kid, obviously, and far away from home and everything. And I get a text as I land in Calgary, and it's a woman named Hella that texted me and said, "Hey Mads, I'm from Esbjerg, which is where I played before I left Denmark, and I'm Danish. I live in Medicine Hat. If you ever want a Danish meal here and there." You can just come over and we'll serve it for you. And I was really happy just with that. But a couple of days later, they called in and was like, "Hey, if you want to come and live at our house, you know, you're allowed to do that. Like, we'll have you and we'll take care of you." So I ended up having my billet mom in Western Canada in a small town, being from Denmark. And not only that, then as I got to the house and met the family and everything, I found out that I played with her nephew back home in Denmark before even knowing of her. So it was an insane situation, and like, I, you know, super close with my billets and talk to them pretty much every day still.
Small, awesome, right? Shout out to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was made things a lot easier for sure.
That had us talking prior. We were wondering how, so you ended up, correct me if I'm wrong, your first league when you came overseas was the NHL.
Yeah.
And then you went to the WHL. We were curious why you chose that path. Was that always the plan, or to go like the major junior path, or did you ever think about college?
Yeah. So like when I first came over to the North American Hockey League, the plan was to go to college. But at that point, then, like major junior didn't allow import goalies. So I wasn't allowed to go play in the CHL. But then I think halfway through the year, my agent called me and was like, "Hey, just so you know, they're opening up and import goalies are allowed again. And, you know, if that's a path you want to go." And it was a no-brainer to me. I mean, I'm for sure a hockey guy. I mean, like, I don't really have anything else that I really love doing, like, or, you know, wanted to do, like, for a job other than playing hockey. So, you know, I thought the biggest or the best fit for me was trying to go to the CHL, where it's, you know, more of a pro schedule than college probably. And, yeah, trying to learn what it's like to have to be consistent on a nightly basis. And I think playing in the CHL obviously helps a lot with that.
Definitely does. I would agree. I think we had another goalie on one Wallstead, and he kind of had a similar mindset too, where he was like, you know, he actually like dropped out of school like at a young age because he was like, I know I want to play hockey. I feel like that kind of almost allows you to, or like might have something to do with it, where you were so set on that, like, you know, you knew you wanted to play hockey, that you were like, I don't care, you know, like about college, I'm gonna shoot for that and not really think about a backup plan, you know, you just kind of went for it.
I mean one thing is that I want to do it. That's, you know, obviously great that I have that, you know, thought, and I'm that driven by something, but I had so much support from my family as well. I mean, it's, you know, it really takes your family to help you to that point. Like without them, there's no chance I'd even be close to where I am right now. And, you know, just, you know, them helping me out with everything and supporting me in that decision. I mean, I never watched Disney or anything, any cartoons or anything. I was, you know, watching hockey all the time. Yeah. So, you know, I think also my parents seeing that, like, they knew that this wasn't just something I was saying, you know, one week and then, you know, next week I want to play soccer, or next week, you know, whatever it might be. They knew that, you know, I love this, you know, so much. And I was so into it from an early age, and you know, that passion just never went away. The same thing now. You know, I love coming to the rink every day and putting in the work and seeing the progress, you know, you make, and just, you know, be the best goal you can.
You just got my brain thinking a little bit, and apologize in advance, ADHD, but you got me thinking of the movie Semi-Pro, when Jackie Moon is doing the introductions, and he's like, this is Melinda. She wants to be an astronaut. I don't think she can do it. You wanted to be a hockey goalie.
Similar.
ADHD, it's an incredible tool when you're podcasting.
Hell of a drug, yeah.
One thing worth mentioning, too, is your parents. You talk about your parents' support. Like, you, dude, you're a massive dude. You're like 6'7". I'm assuming that comes from dad, or is that coming from like a huge family all around?
It's come from my dad. I think my dad's shrinking now. He's getting a little smaller and smaller. Okay. But he was same height as me. And I think he's 6'6" now, or 6'5" maybe. So he's nice. He's still a big man. And yeah, it was crazy because we never really thought I was going to be the tall one. We always thought it was going to be my brother. But I mean, just one summer, I can't remember exactly, but it was like, it was a lot. Like, I grew so much. I didn't even look like the same person when I came back, you know, for hockey season next year. So it was crazy. And then I just like kind of slowly kept on going. And next thing you know, you're 6'7". So
yeah, relatable.
Monster. Very, very relatable on this end of the podcast.
No, yeah, not mine. So you were a late bloomer, were you saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, like, okay. It was, well, not really late, but I was just like kind of normal height for a long time. Okay. And then it just kind of like took off. So, I mean, it was pretty crazy. Like, people were giving me a couple looks when I came back for hockey season next year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just to grow a quick foot over the summer.
Yeah. So I'm thinking you're a huge tall dude, 6'7". You got the good looks, in my opinion. It is what it is. You're a soldier, you're Scandinavian. Likes, yeah. You got the Scandinavian. I like what I like. The heart wants what the heart wants. Anyway, you got the Scandinavian genes. You're playing in the National. You're single. You're a taken guy.
I'm a single guy.
Oh. Pat, you hear that? You hear that? This guy's living the dream at the hotel in Montreal. I'll tell you that right now.
Montreal, it is a fun city, actually. Montreal.
Better than Trois-Rivières?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
On that note, you're a single guy. You got to be taken care of. You want to make sure you're stylish, you're groomed, which is why we want to tell you about the Manscaped lawnmower. Pat knows all about this and how it can change your life. Oh, yeah. Now you want to tell them about it.
It's true. I used to be, don't let the forearms fool you and think I'm shaved. I'm fully shaved. Yeah. Yeah. I used to be a hairy, hairy guy, and I used to not have much success anywhere with love, or, you know, even like having friends, because they were kind of concerned about the hair that I had. But then one day, Trav came to me with the Manscaped lawnmower, and he told me all I had to do was just turn it on and shave. And sure enough, it changed my life. I ended up getting a girlfriend and getting more friends that just kind of looked at me in a more normal manner, and it changed my life around. And I think it can help you as well as a listener today. If you're just finding that you're in that rut in life and all you need something, that something is the Manscaped Lawnmower. So you can get the Manscaped Lawnmower for 20% off using code BIZKIT on manscaped.com.
BIZKIT. We'll get you 20% off free shipping. We'll get Mad sent one out right after this. We're going to get it first class right from the San Diego factory down to Ottawa. We're going to take care of them. But yeah, there's a link in the video description for those listening. Get a lawnmower, get some shampoo, a little bit of conditioner, maybe some deodorant. Maybe you stink. Maybe your feet stink. Get the foot spray. That's
they have a lot.
Sometimes I use, yeah, they have a lot of stuff. I use the foot spray sometimes as a deodorant when I'm out. It helps. You'd be amazed. It really does help. You want to restart the camera?
This is going
to
be changing my life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's going to be a big improvement. It's a big improvement.
Yeah. Essentially.
It's like you've been driving the Chevy Cavalier, the 02 Chevy Cavalier, red, a little bit rusted out. It's still getting you point A to point B, but now we got you in a Tesla, and she rips. That's the kind of upgrade we're talking here. We're getting the premium, the Rolls Royce. And we're back. What amazing commercial break. These commercial breaks get better and better every week. I don't know how we do them, but we do them.
It's something. Dude, you know, Trav, we were talking about people like you recently in the locker room about people who still say Zed. I don't, Mads, I don't know if you caught that when he was saying the code. I say Z, BIZKIT, BIZKIT. Trav says Zed for Z. Do you say, like, have you heard of that?
I say Zed, and then, like,
you say Zed?
I feel like I'm saying something wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, when you say it, people look at you like, what are you saying, kind of? And, like, you don't want to.
Yeah, we were saying how it's rare.
I'm pretty comfortable in, like, speaking English, but, like, sometimes still, like, there's still a couple words here and there. You're like, oh, boy, I don't want to sound like a clown right now.
So when you were learning English, did they teach you Zed?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I grew up, like.
Interesting.
Getting taught. So when I first heard C, I thought it was like letter C.
Oh, yeah, that would be a confusion.
Yeah.
Trev, what were you about to say?
I was going to make a comment about like Deal or No Deal, the show. Like whenever I try to watch or like learn Swedish, like we have like two or three guys on our team like that are imports. Like they get Duolingo. Apparently it's really good. Me, I turn on Deal or No Deal on the TV we got here, and then I turn on the Swedish subtitles. So I'll hear Howie come up and be like, the banker's willing to offer you $14,000, deal or no deal. And then the Swedish subtitles will come on, and then I'll learn that. And then the Hungarian guy who knows Swedish that I live with, I'll be like, is that word mean this? And he'll be like, yep, you got that. And then we start rolling. I got like a Red Bull commercial I memorized the other day. It was good.
That's one way to do it.
That and Ice Road Truckers.
What a show.
Speaking of, as we transition here, I had a question for you. So you're a huge guy. I'm the short one on the podcast today. That's rare. So Mads, between you and I, we usually haze Pat. Like Pat's only 5'11", probably 5'10", but a 5'11" with shoes. You're the big guy on the podcast. I'm the short guy. I wanted to ask you, you're drafted by the Ottawa Senators. You've had a lot of success. Did you find that in the whole drafting process, being recruited from Denmark over to the NHL, back to the Western League and playing at the levels that you have, that there is, I don't want to say like an epidemic, but like there's like a bias towards tall goalies. Scouts want tall goalies. They know that big guys cover the net better. Do you find that was prevalent in a lot of your talks?
Yeah. I mean, I obviously heard it a lot, and I think, as I went into my draft year, I remember talking to my coach and he was saying, you know, I was going to get some attention just because of my height. But you know what, watching, for my first game I was dressed on, in the NHL was in Nashville, and I was watching UC Saros, and I mean, it was incredible to watch him. I mean, he's a small guy, and he was so fast, and he was always in position, and it was really incredible to watch. But but also seeing that, like, he's not very tall, right? And he's that good to, like, it takes him to be that good to play in the NHL, right? Where, you know, if you're a taller goalie, I feel like you can get away with more stuff because, you know, sometimes you're not going to be 100% square. You're not going to be centered or whatever it might be, and pucks just still hit you, or, you know, lots of traffic here and there. And you just go down your butterfly, and it's going to hit your arm, it's going to hit your shoulder, something. So, I mean, I don't necessarily, I don't want to write any short goalies off, especially after watching Saros. Like, it was, like I said, it was incredible to watch him live and see how fast and how accurate he was in his movement and everything. So I don't want to write any short goalies off at all. But I do think it takes more talent for a short goalie than a tall goalie. And especially as, you know, the way that the game is moving on right now and the direction it's going. I mean, it's so fast and guys are so skilled, and, you know, sometimes it's not going to be perfect. You're not going to make every save, the way that you want to, right? Like, sometimes it's just going to hit you. And obviously, there's a bigger chance it's going to hit you when you're a bigger guy than a shorter guy. So I think it's a fine line, but I think personally that, you know, it takes, you know, a lot of talent for a short guy to become really successful at the NHL level.
Like to compensate for the lack of coverage, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it honestly goes both ways. Obviously, you know, like I said, the game is trending towards, you know, taller goalies and stuff like that. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, tall goalies still have to move. Like, if you can't beat a pass on your feet, well, it's going to be tough to play in the NHL, right? And you know, you still have to be able to move. But like I said, if you know, a tall guy doesn't, you know, exactly get there, he's, you know just close to getting to that pass he's trying to beat on his feet, you know, then it might still hit him, right? Like, you know, it might still go off his shoulder or something like that, where, you know, a smaller guy, there's just going to be more net, right? Like, you know, that's just the way it is with putting a bigger guy in net, you know, compared to a shorter guy. So I think honestly it comes down to your skill set and you know, how much you work on it and how much you improve. But I don't think there's any reason to write either, you know, super tall or super short goalies off, because, you know, if you have the skill set, you can play in the NHL no matter what.
Yeah. Would you agree, because I know there's going to be like a lot of people that listen to this, and some people are going to be like, well, short goalies can play, and they absolutely can, but it's the percentages of when you're looking at taking a goalie, and I'm going to sound like an old man here, like you literally cannot teach somebody to be 6'7". It's you have it or you don't. You can take a guy who's 6'7" and teach him how to play net and how to get into position and make the saves in a timely, controlled fashion. But the short guy, it's like, you can't fix that lack of coverage that you need sometimes when you're in the weeds. And I'm sure, and maybe you don't because you're so used to it, but like, I'm sure you make lots of saves. You're like, well, that was kind of nice. If I was like 6'4", that would have been a tough save.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's lots of people say it, like pretty much what you just said, like you can't teach size. Like, you know, it's impossible to do that. And I think in most cases, if you have two goalies and, the one guy is 5'10 and the other guy is 6'3 and they have the exact same skill set, they have the same numbers, same everything, I think, you know, I'd say 10 out of 10 times, you know, the coach is going to pick the bigger guy just simply because of that, you know, that, you know, takes up more net, right? So, I do think it's trending towards bigger goalies for sure. And I mean, you see the numbers in the NHL, it's not a lot of goalies that's, you know, under 6'2", I'd say probably. So it is trending, but like I said, after watching Saros, like, that was just, you know, my personal experience with it. It was incredible to see, and I mean, he's a short guy, but it looked like there was no room to score on him. Like, he was so centered, and he was square and aggressive and everything. So I was really impressed for sure.
I would I would agree with it, honestly. Like, I'm not a goalie, but I just from like shooting on and watching like goalies, it's a lot of times shorter goalies, you can almost like the shots up high on them are you're much easier to score on a shorter goalie than a taller goalie. Like, you can almost flick it over them because it like goes over their shoulder. I mean, but that being said, like, I have a shorter goalie on my team right now who's been lights out for us. I mean, it's, but you can see as I'm like, I watch him in the net and he's like very quick and athletic, and he's so dialed because like he has to do more movement than a bigger goalie, and he'll like fire across the net and he's always like kind of moving, where it's like watching a bigger goalie, he doesn't have to do as such drastic movements. He's simply just shifting, you know, and it's just like easier, less energy, you know, takes up more of the net naturally rather than having to shift all the way across the net like every time. So I don't know, it's just kind of the way it is, I guess. I mean, it's not saying that a shorter goalie can't make it, you know, if you're good enough, you can, but definitely a disadvantage for sure.
Yeah, I think honestly that's a big message too, like you know, just like me playing, I mean, I've only been up here for a week now in the NHL, and I mean, we'll see what happens. You obviously never know, but I mean, just being in Belleville this year, being in the AHL, and you know, look at the numbers in the organization and everything. I think a big message from my goalie coach Justin Peters as well was, you know, if you're good enough to make it, you're gonna make it, right? And it's the same thing when it comes to, you know, comes to height and everything. Like, you know, if you have the skill set to make the NHL, well, then you're going to make the NHL. It might not be the way and the path that you expect it to be, but you will make it. If you're good enough and put the work in, it will happen, right? And same thing for me this year, like looking at the numbers in the organization, you know, seeing that, you know, there's Forsberg, there is Matt Murray, there is Philip Gustafson, there's Kevin Manalay. So, you know, we have a lot of really talented goalies in the organization, and you know, trying to fit myself into that equation as well is, you know, it's, you know, you start to wonder what might happen here and there. But you know, early on, like even before the season started, we had that talk, me and my goalie coach, and you know, that was almost like a common effect. Like, it was a calm kind of thought to have that, you know, if I just put my head down and go to work and work as hard as I can every single day, things will take care of itself.
Absolutely. A question that we have for you. Obviously, you just played your first NHL game, like we've mentioned. Curious. So you were, how long were you in the, with the team before getting your first game?
I got drafted 3 years ago, and I signed last summer.
Okay. And then you were in the AHL this year and got a call up recently, or have you been? Okay. So when you finally got that, you know, you're playing tonight, we curious of your mindset when you got that like call or information, and then your mindset before the game in the locker room, what it was like during the game, and then how you felt after the game.
So I got the news the day before, you know, my goalie coach here in Ottawa just came in and asked how I was doing, and you know, it was a pretty short conversation. He just kind of looked at me and said, "You're in tomorrow," and that was about it. And you know, I had some butterflies in my stomach for sure, and was, you know, very excited. And I think, you know, I think the biggest message for myself, like during that that time from when I got the news to you know, when I was going to play, is well, first of all, I have to go practice. So have a good practice, leave the ice on a good note, and, you know, work as hard as you can. So I think that was the first kind of message to myself. And I try not to think too much about the games.
If I could, for a quick second, when you say having a good practice, like what are you focusing on? You're going on the ice. What are some fundamentals you're thinking of for that practice?
I like to keep my head down on the puck, not like kind of track down on it, keep my chin down, and you know, like simple plays. I like handling the puck as well. Go out there and make simple plays and some breakouts, and you know, try to make as many clean saves as possible. And when you have to get out of that and you know, make a desperation save here and there, be ready and make sure you put the time in before, like to get loose and stretch and what you might have to do to, you know, to not have to worry about your body going into making a save like that, you know, even if it's just a practice. I mean, instincts, you know, take over, and you don't want to go light on you know, the warm-ups and everything. So I think just being a pro in general, and I mean, even if I don't stop the puck, I mean, you know, have a 2-on-1 and be like, you know what, I'm going to beat the pass on my feet on this rep right now. And, you know, if I beat the pass on my feet and I still get scored on, well, you know, obviously it's not nice to get scored on, but it's still a win because I set my goal to go in and beat the pass right now. And if I beat the pass, you know, then that's great. I put myself in a good situation to make the stop and then go from there, right? Like, you know, more times than not, you're going to make the saves when you put yourself in situations where you're able to be successful. So I think, you know, just trying to get like small wins in the practice and, you know, make sure that, you know, when I do step on and coach blows the whistle for practice to start, I've done everything I could to prepare for this practice and, you know, just, you know, do your best, right? Like it's a good feeling to go out there and, you know, not have to worry about anything. I mean, you've been eating well, you've been sleeping, you've taken care of your body, everything. You can just go out there and play hockey, right? Like it's a good feeling. So I try to do that as much as possible. Because those things are controllable. Like you can control your warm up. You can control what you put in your body. You can control, you know, what time you're gonna try to go to bed at, right? Like all these things are things you can control. And if you take care of that, it's a good feeling to go on the ice and just, you know, play freely.
That's awesome, dude. And then so fast forward, you have a good practice. Come game time, what are you thinking?
First of all, do not fall in the rookie lap. That's probably the biggest thing, honestly. No, like honestly, not too much. I remember calling back home to my parents and you know, they were really, really fired up, obviously, and super excited. And I honestly don't think you kind of realize how big it is and how many people are following along. I mean, especially being from a small country like Denmark. I mean, I think I was the 16th player in history from Denmark to play in the NHL. So not a lot of guys do it.
And you got to be the youngest, though, 21?
I'm the youngest goalie, but not player. But still, I mean, the whole country is following, right? Like, it's all over the news back home in Denmark, so... I don't think you kind of realize how big it is until you get off the ice and, you know, you check your phone and, you know, got a good load of notifications. But I just try to handle it the same way as any other game, right? Like, you know, I was kind of thinking back to, you know, just being called up for the reason, you know, or for the way that I played in the AHL, right? Like they called me up for a reason. They called me up because I was doing well and they liked how I played in the AHL. So why go change it? Like, why try to do something that you're not? So I was just trying to play within myself and play my game and, you know, just enjoy it while you're doing it. Because I remember Brady Tkachuk telling me before the game that, you know, you can play 1,000 games in the NHL, but you only have one first game. So you might as well go out there and enjoy it. And I try to take everything in the moment you know, not just be nervous and worried, and then look back on it and be like, okay, it was actually cool. No, I actually tried to like enjoy it while it was happening, which was great. And you know, playing an original six team in my first NHL game, and you know, on the road and everything, it was pretty awesome. And just, you know, like I said to my dad, like, no matter what happens tonight, like, I'm gonna come home, I'm gonna lay in my bed, and I'm gonna have one NHL game on my resume. And no matter what happened, no matter how I play, no one can take that from me. It's something I'll always be able to say, and always something I can be proud of. So just, you know, just enjoy it and have fun.
I gotta ask, were the parents able to come out or no?
They were not able to come over. It was, I mean, I didn't really know when I was going to play. So it was kind of tough to plan it out, but I had the family staying up watching the game at 1:30 in the morning. And, you know, it was kind of crazy to see, like I said, I had, you know, some text on my phone after, and some Snapchats. And I think I had like 25 people that, like, I don't talk to on a daily basis. They were like up watching the game live, which was kind of surprising to me. Like, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, there's some guy texting you that he golfed with you like 5 years ago. Hey, can I get tickets to your next game by chance? Can I get like six tickets? It's probably me. It's probably me asking for tickets.
That'll happen. You get a lot of that after, like, people you barely know or talk to when you were a kid, all of a sudden, like, coming back,
giving you
like
the smoke.
Oh. Honestly, like, I have a pretty small like friend group. You know, I have a lot of friends, but I have few really good friends. I you know, it doesn't have to sound like I'm being an idiot or anything, but I just like to, you know, have a small circle, almost, like, just, you know, have the guys that I trust and, you know, like to, you know, spend time with. And, you know, it's great to hang out with your friends as well, but it's really nice to have those good friends that, you know, you can really trust and, you know, is going to be there for you, and they're not doing it, you know, 'cause you're playing in the NHL, right? Right. They're doing it 'cause you're really good friends. Right. So.
Yeah. Definitely important to have, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, especially like just, you know, with, you know, this happening, and you get a little bit more attention than you probably normally do. And I think just like having that kind of lifestyle for myself, at least, was, you know, it was nice. And it was nice to just kind of appreciate all the texts you get, but at the same time, you know, really know who your good friends are.
Definitely. Awesome, and then game goes on. You win, you get your first W. Did you have a moment of like, okay, like, I can do this type thing? You know, like, you just played your first NHL game, you won, you had a successful night. Did you kind of have that moment after?
I mean, I don't really know if I had that moment. It was, you know, the whole thing was so cool. I would say I had control over my emotions and nerves, you know, for pretty much the whole night. I will say, though, when I stepped on the ice, I was, you know, I was confident and everything. And you know, then they announced that, you know, here comes your Detroit Red Wings, and the rink went absolutely nuts. And that's when it was like, kind of hits me that, okay, this is happening. You're in the NHL right now. You know, 17,000 people just screaming at the top of the lungs. So that was when it kind of hit me. But I think just like settling in, I spoke a little bit about it in the media after, about, like, you know, the first 6 minutes of the game was a little bit like, you know, you're like, wow, I'm in the NHL, right? And you're just trying to get your first save and just get a feel for it. And I got that. And I mean, after my first save, I kind of like just realized that, you know, it's still hockey and things, you know, plays develop faster for sure. But, you know, I think 80% of the NHL, you know, the guys played in the American League before or something like that, you know. So the guys that you face on a daily basis, well, they're moving on to this level, right? Like, you see a lot of the same shots. So I think just like realizing that was, you know, a big part of me just kind of being able to settle in and be like, hey, this is just another game. You just got to play the way that you've been doing so far and you know, stick to your game plan and then go from there. And I think doing that was a big help for me for sure.
That's wicked, dude. And hey, dude, congrats as well on the win. That's awesome, dude. That's unreal. Only 21 years old. You're drafted 3 years ago. Now you're making your debut, putting up wins, and it's awesome to hear, dude. It seriously is. I remember watching, like, you know, you were the World Juniors, and I know maybe a couple tough games against Canada, but like you look good in a bunch of games. You made a lot of great saves, and now you're in my eyes, you're a starter in NHL. Maybe for a temporary period of time, maybe more permanent, but dude, you're a starter. You're the man.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that with the World Juniors and everything, because, I mean, as much as it obviously sucks to get scored on and everything, like, that whole month of World Junior hockey, you know, taught me so much and helped me, you know, grow even more. And I think that's such a, like, big message for especially young goalies nowadays is, like, you know, obviously it sucks when you're not playing well and when you're not doing as you want, but it's about how you handle it. It's about if you look at it and go, okay, this is really, you know, this sucks and this is awful and hockey is hard, and or do you look at it as an opportunity and be like, you know what, I'm going to go through this and I'm going to try to develop and work my bag off and, you know, just do the best I possibly can. And then next time I stand in the same situation, I go, no, this ain't happening. I've been here before. I've worked my way out of this, and I've done everything I can to not have this experience happen again. So, like, changing your mindset from, like, being like, this sucks, to, like, kind of being like, this is going to help me to get even better than what I was before. And you know, that was a big teaching point. I mean, I got scored on 11 times against Canada in the first game, and the coach comes up to me and he goes, well, you're in net in 2 days, so you get ready. I mean, I didn't know how to handle it, and, you know, I didn't really play like myself the rest of the tournament. I mean, I was happy I was able to come back and put some respectable kind of games together, but I wasn't really playing like myself for the rest of the tournament. And you know, after the tournament, I sat down in the airport and I looked through the film and, you know, realized the mistakes I did and, you know, how I wanted to change things. And you know, you also got to be realistic, right? Like, the chances of Denmark beating Canada in the World Juniors is not very big. And, you know, it's really, really hard to get a win like that. So you got to realize there's going to be big chances and there's, you know, you always get scored on, right? So, you got to be realistic as well, but just me watching the film and realizing that, I wasn't playing like myself and just kind of saying to myself, like, you know what, there's nothing I can do about this anymore. This is done. It's old news. I can just go back to Medicine Hat now with a fresh mindset and a good work ethic. And, you know, go back and put together a good rest of the season. And like I said, me just, you know, try and do that, change my whole mindset about, you know, adversity. And I was so happy to come back and put together, you know, a good second half of the season. And, you know, just, you know, it's a great moment because, you know, you go through that and it's dark times, right? Like you're not happy to have tough games, and especially in front of big crowds, right? Like, you know, sold out against Canada and everything, and you're not performing as you want to, and you still get out and you get better from it. And I just think that's, you know, that's really awesome to learn from those kind of experiences as well.
And correct me if I'm wrong, like right after you came back from that, you started like lighting up Medicine Hat, putting up great numbers, and things kind of started rolling for me for you from there, correct?
Yeah, no, I came back and the first game I played was against the Edmonton Oil Kings, and we lost 2-1 in overtime, I think. And, you know, it sounds dumb, but, like, just only giving up two goals was a great feeling, honestly. Like, just, like, from after those experiences of being scored on a lot, it was almost like a mini win, just like keeping it down to a tight score and you know, playing like myself again and you know, being happy and you know, see the progress, right? Like see that, you know, I can still stop pucks and, you know, my skill set didn't just disappear overnight. I can still do this. And now that I have this experience, then when something goes bad again, I can lean on that and I can keep on developing.
I'll be honest with it. That's, it kind of makes me want to go skate. I know it's only like, it's like 3:30 in the morning here.
Feeling
I know
inspired now.
Yeah. I know. It's like middle of the night. No rinks in Sweden are open. Yeah. It makes me want to go skate. It makes me want to go do some movement, go do like a goalie session or something now. It's inspiring stuff.
But that's the whole message, right? Like it doesn't really matter who it goes to. I just think it's awesome that people in general, like if you can change, like I said, like change that mindset into, you know, it's just something like positive in a way. So you don't get too hard on yourself. You're not, you know, I'm not saying it's all pretty and perfect from here on out, but you still have that belief in yourself and you still, you know, you have that mindset of, this is only going to make me better. This sucks right now, but when I look back on this in 2 weeks, I'm going to be even better. And I'm going to play even better than what I'm doing right now. So I don't know. I just really like, you know, to think that way. And, you know, same thing this year. I mean, I've gotten pulled for a couple games here and there and, you know, being pulled, you're angry and you're pissed and everything, but, you know, then the game's over and I get super excited to go to work next morning and just work as hard as I can because I know it's going to be a good feeling after and I know it's going to push me through to get even better. So that's just the way I kind of go around with it. And I mean, I try to, like I said, I try to do that as much as possible. And I mean, I like that mindset.
Yeah, dude. We got a couple minutes left to finish. We like to finish all of our guest interviews off with a little rapid fire Q&A. Rapid fire questions. I know we're a little short on time because only put the Q&A up like a couple hours ago, but how do you feel about a couple of rapid fire questions?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. First question. What size pads do you wear? Please, any specifications as a huge man? That was the question from Kirk.
Oh, that's not going to be very rapid because I actually don't really know. I think I've had the same specs since I was in Medicine Hat. I think it's a 36 plus 2.
Okay. Chest protector, pants?
They sit pretty high, so they're not, you know, I could probably get another inch if I wanted to.
Oh, actually, this is good timing. You want an extra inch, I will get you a pair of my Traspec Pro Laces. We'll get you that extra, maybe like a half inch. You know, I'm looking for myself an extra half inch, but not on the ice. We'll get you it on the ice. We'll take care of you, man. We'll get you taken care of. We'd love to help you out. Kev wants to know, what do you think of poutine? How's your poutine experience been?
I just like my fries normally.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Swedish meatballs? Thoughts?
Unreal.
Game-changing? Life-changing?
Absolutely. Go to IKEA.
Oh, my God. Dude, if you look closely, like on my Visa card, it says Travis, middle name, meatball origin. It's on there.
Unreal.
And for like the pat, like the photo, it's like a picture, like on the like the IKEA menu of the meatballs with the lingonberry sauce, the pickled cucumbers, and everything. It's legit, man. They don't mess around at IKEA or in Sweden. Brown sauce. What was another question that we had? Somebody wanted to ask: are you offended by Trav claiming to be Swedish? Denmark's the same thing, basically. They wanted to know that. That was Nick.
I am not offended by it.
Okay. We embrace it around here.
Yeah,
my dad hates it. My dad, every time I say that, my dad's like, son, stop that, they don't want you, stop it. My dad's listening right now. He's gonna turn the podcast off and call me. Final question. Wes said, what was my boy Baxter Anderson like? Did you like him? Because he's my cousin. You played with him in Med Hat.
He was awesome. He used to pick me up all the time and drive me to the rink. He was a great guy. I haven't talked to him in a while though, but unreal guy.
Okay. Final two questions. What do you drive?
I don't drive. I don't have a car, actually.
That makes two of us, buddy. That makes two of us.
I live with Igor Sokolov and Kevin Mandelazy in Belleville, and they both have cars, so I just, you know, I just grab a ride with them.
With the gas prices, that's not bad.
Yeah,
ride for free.
I know, it's, you know, it's a win-win, honestly.
Well, you see the carbon tax? Gas went up 12 cents or 11 cents across Canada yesterday or the day before.
It's insane. We're like looking at it and I just couldn't believe it.
Like, Kev, we need more gas. You mind putting in 20? And final question. Mr. Shea, you want to ask your signature question?
Oh.
That, you got to ask it. Yeah, you got to ask it. This is your question.
A common question we ask. When wiping, are you a stander or a sitter?
Come again, please. When, a stander or sitter?
You drop a number two, and then you wipe.
I'm a sitter.
Okay.
No way. Okay. Come on.
Yeah. Is that bad?
For sure.
No,
I thought
that's
sure you were a stander.
Really?
Well, big guys. Like I'm 6'5". So like me, I can't be in a squat for too long, so I got to get up. So I figured it's 6'7". I know you're a little bit younger, so maybe you haven't like, you know, broken down the hips, but like I figured for sure a stander. I thought for sure I would have bet my like life savings on that.
Yeah, no, I don't know. That was I honestly can't even give you a story of that. Just
it's just the way it is. You're just a kid and you just decide one. You don't think about it.
I don't think you know. You just start. It's just whatever, like, I'll sit, I'll stand. I mean, maybe you're taught a certain way. I don't know. I just started standing, and that's how we've been doing it for coming up on 23 out of the last 26 years now. So,
well, there you go. Then, hey, if that works, then that's all good.
Speaking of working, Mads, I want to say thank you so much for coming on, dude. It was a privilege. It's a pleasure to have you on. I know that I was going to do it, you know, the podcast with you. We're going to have you on in the summer, but you said, let's do it today. So, hey, we did it today. Appreciate you taking the time. And, dude, it's been an awesome podcast, man. You're an exciting guy.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks for having me.
Pat, closing comments.
Yeah, I second that. Appreciate you coming on. I think it will be a beneficial podcast for a lot of young goalies. I thought you said some inspiring, you know, stuff and just kind of showed the mindset that you have, which I think is pretty important for a lot of young goalies or players to have. So yeah, appreciate you giving your time and your thoughts. Good stuff.
You know, and on a side note real quick, new episode Sunday, next coming Sunday. It's already pre-recorded because I'm flying back home to Canada and we are not recording a podcast when I'm in a 7-hour time change. So until then, we will see you next Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern for Slinging the Biscuit episode 55. Thanks for listening.